Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Joey Maller, and we're going to talk remote sales teams. Joey, you're the sales manager at Upcurve Cloud, right?
That's correct.
Cool, man. So let's talk about this, because I work for a company, or our company here is we're remote friendly, and our engineers work remotely, and that seems to work really well for them, because the most of the way they communicate is through code and through Slack, and they're used to that. I find with salespeople, we're inherently social people. A lot of the work that we're doing is social. We're talking to customers, we're talking to prospects, right? And there's so many benefits of sitting next to somebody so you can listen in on their sales calls. So I'm wondering, why should I consider adopting a remote sales model in the first place?
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up. And I think if you kind of take a step back and look at, where we are in terms of technology and communication, the barriers that previously prevented remote working from being a viable option for a lot of companies no longer exist. And if you have the right, what we found is if you have the right tools and you give the employees the right tools to be productive, the ones that work from home are actually more productive. For us, it also allowed us and one of the catalysts for us specifically in terms of even going down this road of hiring remote salespeople was we originally had a group of salespeople in Los Angeles, and we wanted to hire a few more. And we were getting resumes and things were, there were some good candidates. And we decided, let's expand our horizon, or let's expand our area and go outside of LA. So we did more of a national search. And obviously we got a ton of inquiries, a ton of resumes, and we actually found, a couple of really good candidates. One of them was in Michigan. One of them was in Miami. And going through the stage of hiring them, we realized not only were they going to be cheaper in terms of salary and expectations, but if we equip them with the right technology, we shouldn't have any issues. And it turned out really well for us. And because of that, we kind of decided we're not going to stick to the status quo of hiring only within our metro city, but we're going to expand this and hire the best people that fit what we need. And a lot of times it's outside of our region. Mm-hmm. So really, finding the right talent is a big reason why a lot of companies are going to the remote workforce.
So finding great talent and then, I guess better productivity, and in some cases a lower cost, depending on what geography that you're hiring in.
Oh, absolutely. It turned out there were a lot of residual values that we didn't even realize going into it. But yes, productivity actually did become very evident almost immediately that some of these salespeople were more productive. And it takes a certain type of person to be comfortable working remotely or working from home. That's the other thing we learned. It's hard to take somebody out of the culture of being in an office, their career, and then putting them at home. A lot of times that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So you really have to make sure that the person that is going to be hired understands and has been through or has previously worked from home or is in a situation that allows them to make sure that they are going to be productive from home, because there are some situations where it doesn't make sense, but for where it does make sense, those people were a lot more productive.
You mentioned there's some areas or some situations where it doesn't make sense. Can you talk to me a bit about those?
Yeah. Number one would be if they're not used to working from home. A lot of people have the perception that, if I work from home, I can just get up in the morning and work in my PJs and, nobody's watching me. I can do whatever I want. So that mentality is absolutely not true. To be productive in a work from home environment, you have to be in the mindset that you are essentially going to work. So we've hired people that said that they were going to be comfortable working from home. And lo and behold, we find out that they don't have like a separate room, or they're not working from, you know, an office in their house. They're working from their living room with a laptop, and you can hear everything going on in the background. So really, that's a big part of understanding, you know, do you have somewhere where you're going to be able to work comfortably and not be bothered with, you know, people coming in and out, or family or kids or whatever the, you know, or whatever could possibly go wrong. So making sure that the person that we do hire understands and has the ability and the facility to be productive at home or wherever they are remote.
Gotcha. So I find there are so many benefits to, you know, working side by side in a, on a sales team. How do you stay connected and in touch with your team if they're spread around the country?
Yeah. Obviously technology has a big part to do with that. We do all of our meetings via video hangouts. We require that the cameras are turned on so that we have some sort of face-to-face, even though we're not in the same room. Mm-hmm. All of our meetings and sales meetings and one-on-one meetings are all done over video chat. We also make sure that we have a very structured cadence of meetings set out, scheduled throughout the week that keeps me engaged with each representative one-on-one and then as a group. So we have two group meetings every week, and then I have one-on-ones with each sales rep throughout the week as well.
So let's, before you move on, yeah, let's jump in. Talk to me about what these meetings are. Like, what are these group meetings and what do you cover in the one-on-ones?
Yeah. So the group meetings are more about strategy, talk about different messaging. Let's talk about some of the strategic accounts that we want to go after and bounce ideas off each other. We found that if we open it up to sharing ideas about certain opportunities, that somebody will have an idea that resonates or really clicks with that salesperson. So having an open forum to talk about all of our strategic opportunities is one of those calls. The one-on-one is more deep diving into that individual's pipeline, what leads have come in, what messaging, what's the activity, right? So really just engaging more about that specific person's sales pipeline. And then the second group meeting that we have is to just talk about some of the new processes or new opportunities that have come in and some of the new tools that are available. So we're, you know, we provide multiple SaaS applications, specifically G Suite and Google related, but there's always some new things coming out that we need to make sure everybody's aware of. So one
so
of
like
them
products,
is
products that you're selling, just so I'm clear. Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of break it up into three different categories where one is more focused on strategic alignment, one's more focused on sales, and one's more focused on product.
Gotcha. And so that's the second meeting. It's sort of like the one-on-ones are you're doing your pipeline review, you're checking in on net new leads, you know, how's this stuff going? You know, are you having any troubles with messaging, that sort of stuff? Then you've got more of a sales team like improvement meeting where you're talking about process and new opportunities. You're sort of brainstorming creative ways to help overcome maybe certain objections, or if a deal's gone cold, how do we reactivate this one?
Exactly.
And then the third one is sort of a product knowledge meeting so that people are getting that disseminated so that they're still in the loop about new products and stuff that's coming out.
Exactly.
So in that third meeting, who's running that and who else is involved? Is it just the sales team?
No, it's myself, the sales team, and marketing.
Gotcha.
So we bring marketing in there. And that's something that we found really helpful is, you know, not too much though, right? Sales and marketing, there's a very fine line there between crossing, you know, over, stepping on each other's toes, but there has to be synergy there. So we bring the marketing team on for that, for the product call. Since a lot of our marketing people are also remote, that gives an opportunity to, you know, again, do the video conferencing, everybody's cameras turned on. So even though we're not in the same room, we do get that sense of camaraderie and you know, being able to talk to each other in a nice format.
Gotcha. Out of curiosity, is your whole company remote or is it just the sales marketing teams?
Just sales and marketing. We have two locations where a big chunk of our developers and engineers sit, but most of the sales people are remote. Mm-hmm. And then just a handful of our marketing people are remote.
That I find hilarious. It's normally, yeah. I think with most companies I know, it's the opposite. It's you've got remote engineers and in-person everything else.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think we intended for this to be the way that we've set up the company, but we started it and we said, you know what, if we can save some costs on real estate and rentals and office space, and put some of that money more towards technology and making sure we improve communication and process, let's do it because it's mm-hmm.
That's great.
So reshifting our budget also was a big residual value that we realized after the fact, right? After we started hiring more remote salespeople, when we started doing our annual budgets, right, we were able to take a lot of line items out and replace them with a lot less cost line items. Real estate being a big one, office space being a office equipment.
Yeah. Don't need any fax machines or copiers or ink or any of that nonsense.
What, a fax machine? What is that?
Come on, man.
Oh, I know all well what fax machines are.
Yeah. So when it comes to staying organized, it's, you've got your weekly meetings, you know, what else do y'all do to make sure that you're staying sort of in touch and in sync with each other?
Chat communication is huge for us. You should see my, in Gmail, you have the instant messaging right there built in. So at any time, I'll have six or seven, chats going on at the bottom. We do a lot of group chats. We do have some Slack. Not everyone has adopted it yet. So I think we're on our way to getting more into the Slack world, but using those instant messaging applications has been a great way to just stay communicating in real time, because if I'm on the road or a salesperson's on the road, I can still chat them, right? They get it on their phone, their laptop, wherever they're logged in. Mm-hmm. So I'll wait for them to get back to the office to get that message. So instant messaging, video conferencing, group chats are all daily productivity initiatives that we make sure are happening.
Gotcha. Do you ever meet up live with each other?
We try to, at least we say three times a year is ideal. We usually do a early in the year, like a sales kickoff, right? Even though we're not that big. We're not like an Oracle who have these big grand kickoffs. ours are a little bit smaller, but we do get together once a year at the beginning of the year to just talk about what's ahead. Google Next event is the big Google conference that we usually have a booth at. So mm-hmm. That's number two. We all get together there, or at least the key members of the team get together there. And then usually halfway point is another time we'll get together, and then a holiday event. So that's not work related so much, but it's more just, again, coming together, loosening up a bit and really just getting to know each other on a more personal level.
Gotcha. And will you fly everybody in for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
So that, it's another, another great, value of being able to cut costs in certain areas is that we now have, some extra money to make sure that we can cover, travel and expense for these type of events, and for other areas that we may not have, or we may have thought twice about in the past, right? Are we going to spend all that money to bring everyone here when we're already spending all this money? But now that's not even a question. It's built into our budgets.
Gotcha. What about things like I think one of the most valuable pieces of having a remote team, an in-person team, is just being able to listen in on, you overhear other calls that are happening in the office, and you can check in on them, or you can jump in, or you can just sit there and listen and say, hey, you know, Jason, I, you know, noticed you said this, you know, have you thought about positioning it this way or that way? Right. That the tiny little, you know, piece there, it could have a massive impact on one of your account execs. So how do you sort of make up for, because obviously that's much, much harder to do when you're remote. How do you sort of still provide those coaching opportunities or make sure that you're still getting the opportunity to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, the example you said, I think is with salespeople, it's a little bit different, right? A lot of salespeople are, I want to be able to do this. I want to sell it. And sometimes it has being in an office has the opposite effect where there's, you know, too much of that going on. Hey, I don't want you listening into my phone calls, or, you know, everyone huddling around and being distractive and making noise. So a lot of times what we've heard, you know, from a lot of the salespeople we've hired is that it's been a blessing in disguise to take them out of that type of environment. Now, the coaching part, a lot of it relies on trust, making sure that they're communicating exactly what they are doing with me so that I can properly coach them. But we also have tools that allow me to understand what's happening and taking some of that data to coach them. So again, technology has played a big part in why we've had a successful, have had a successful remote workforce, because I do have insight to a lot of day-to-day data and activity that in turn can help me coach them on, how to properly align this messaging with this customer or so on and so forth.
Gotcha. So when you say day-to-day activity, we're talking call data, email data, and then their
CRM data.
Yeah. Call recordings, if they're doing like Zoom or Google Hangouts, stuff right. Like that.
Yep. Exactly. Gotcha.
Yep. So is that maybe something you do in those one-on-ones, is the, to do that sort of call review to make sure that they're, you know, following the plan. I don't want to say script, but, you know, following the general call plans that you're laying out for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we actually have a very specific way about about doing stuff like that, because a couple of years ago, we really implemented the challenger sale methodology. So more for us becoming more solution sales than product selling. And that's sort of the methodology that my coaching is based on, right? Are you asking the right open-ended questions, right? For me, the most important piece of information when I have my one-on-ones is show me your discovery notes, right? What did you learn about this particular client or prospect? What are their pain points, right? And I want to see those notes. If you handwrite them, put them up on the screen. You know, if you, I recommend that they put them in a Google Note and Google Doc and label it. But again, that's not always the case. So if you, you know, if you hand wrote it, show it to me. If you have it in a doc, share it with me. If you put it in the CRM, let's take a look at that. So making sure that they're doing proper discovery is where a lot of our conversations take place on those one-on-one meetings.
Gotcha. And so they're taking notes in a Google Doc.
Yep.
In the call.
Yeah. So any prospect that we're going to be reaching out to, we require that they create a Google Doc. They name it the name of the prospect - call notes. And that's where they put the notes, so that it, you know, it's in a shared folder. I can always go back and review. We can always go back and update. We can always go back and reference. Hey, remember when we had this conversation with that company? This is what ended up happening. This prospect looks exactly the same. Let's take this approach.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. I have a little, a shortcut I'll share with you. I have a bookmark that sits in my Chrome bookmarks, and you just click it and it automatically creates a new Google Doc.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to go into Google Docs. It's this little JavaScript. You add some like a little wrapper. I'll throw it in the show notes if anybody's interested.
That's a huge time saver, because that's one of the things that the salespeople, I got to create the doc,
Yeah.
Even though it takes 10 seconds, right? Everybody wants things to happen automatically nowadays.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can. Yeah, there you go. I just pasted it in the chat. But for those of you that can't see the chat, I'll make sure I throw a copy into, or I'll throw a note into the show notes. And I'm just messaging our marketing, VP of marketing, to make sure I don't forget to do that. But no, basically,
that's a great little tip.
Yeah, if I did forget, it's JavaScript colon window dot open left bracket. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes, but you get the idea. Basically enclosed in a parentheses, and then also the link is enclosed in a single quotation mark, and then it's basically docs.google.com/create. And I probably laid that out in the most confusing way possible. I apologize.
Just click the link.
Yeah, have a look at the link in the show notes. And I basically just created a bookmark. And so it's a one click to create a new doc. So all of your, help me understand this. So I'm assuming you're not in Salesforce then.
We don't have Salesforce. We use Zoho as our CRM. Mm-hmm. Which we've had for many, many years and have spent quite a bit on customizing it. Obviously, we toyed with the idea of going to Salesforce, but for us, it's just, it's almost like a homegrown CRM that we've custom built based off how we put information in. So that's what we're using. Obviously, G Suite has our main collaboration suite. And there's a lot of integration with Zoho, so we can make sure that data is captured without the rep having to do a lot of mundane, manual tasks.
Gotcha. That's fair. And that's sort of the goal of any sales leader, sales operations person, sales enablement person. I want to switch gears because we sort of talked about, benefits, disadvantages, or advantages, disadvantages of having a remote team. Talked about how you stay organized and in touch. I mean, one of the things that is still a blocker for me is salespeople are so social, right? And it can be a really fun atmosphere when you've got a good group of people that are all sort of collaborating and closing and competing against each other. You get your numbers on the board. You've got the gong in the office. We don't have a gong, but you know the idea, yeah. Right? Without going to Wolf of Wall Street or Boiler Room, how do you keep it fun when everybody's sitting at home? Ideally not in their living room, but potentially in their pajamas from the bottom down.
Yeah, no, and that is something that we struggled with early on, but we realized, again, coming back to just having the right tools to keep us connected, we do a lot of different gamification and sales contests and various contests to keep everybody sort of focused and keep their eye on the prize. And I mean, to your point of, having that in person, right? The whole sales pit floor, set up. Certain type of companies that's ideal for, right? In the world that we live in and how we go to market and the type of customers that we're talking to, it doesn't lend itself to being that type of environment. So I think it depends on the company, the product you're selling, obviously the customer base you're going after, whether or not this type of environment makes sense. And we're seeing more and more type of environments make sense for remote salespeople and remote hires. Gotcha. But going back to how we keep it fun, we have different sort of contests, not always about who sells the most, but who sets up the most calls with C-level executives, right? Who makes the most in-person appointments, or who sees the most amount of companies in person in a given week or quarter? Obviously, we do have sales-related contests, not all the time, but a lot of times we'll do specific spiffs off certain products or upsells. So we're constantly coming up with new ways of keeping it fresh and making sure that there is some fun behind the sales process and cycle.
That's phenomenal. I mean, one of our first guests on the show, I think first, he's either first or second, it was Zach Barney, and he bet his team a push up for every meeting. No, sorry. Every call they made. And there's a video, I think it's actually a Vine in there somewhere of him doing like, I think in a day they managed to crank out, or in their power hour, they managed to crank out like 237 pushups. So I was interviewing him and he's like, just stiff. I'm like, exactly. He's like, yeah, I just did nearly 300 pushups.
Wow. No, that's interesting if you say that, because we sort of found out that, similar to him, money isn't the ultimate driver for salespeople, right? It's competition. It's just winning something. It doesn't always have to be money related. And yeah. A lot of times, if you incentivize them with, right, something just out of the box, or, you know, like to him, push-ups, salespeople are going to get a little bit extra motivated, especially if there's humiliation involved, or, you know, something with your boss. Absolutely. You'll see salespeople, their competitive nature just kick in and really, you know, put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah. I once bet a rep, basically one of us had to wax a leg.
Oh no.
Yeah. And he ended up losing the bet. But we decided, as the boss, I can't really force you to wax a leg. And it was going to be just one leg. We were all going to participate. Right. I was like, it's got to be sort of like, I could bet them that they could wax my legs if they hit like a certain goal. Right. That's sort of, you know, fun. Whereas this was almost like, you know, I beat you in this one contest that right. I'm trying to like build you up and make you better at something. And now because I beat you, I get to wax your legs. It's like, that's right. That's just not.
Right. Kick you when you're down. Kind
of. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the stuff that like what Zach did with, you know, doing the push-ups,
right.
Doing the, what was the other one? He had, it was whoever booked the most demos in a month, or everybody that booked a demo that turned into a closed deal in a month, or whatever the criteria was. Essentially, if you hit this criteria, you get a pie, and you could smush it in Zach's face. And they had this pie day where people were throwing pies, and there's another great video or Vine or whatever it was of just this one SDR who just savored it, who took probably a minute and just started from the bottom of the face and just sort of slowly worked his way up his face. And Zach was just,
Did that one again.
Well, hey, it seems like you got the team super fired up. Everybody had a really great time. So it's like getting a chance to take a shot or a pie at your boss. I think those are some phenomenal opportunities that you don't normally get a chance to do.
Oh yeah. And it's a little hard, you know, when you have the remote team. So I guess that would be one of the cons to remote workforce. You can't get that type of environment. But like for us, instead of giving away money, we will give away, top prize, a TV, right? A 65-inch Sony TV. Second mm-hmm. prize, Google Home. Third prize, like a gift certificate card.
Set of stick knives.
Right. Yeah.
Second place is.
Fourth place, you're fired.
Yeah, there you go.
we try to get creative with the prizes. So that's not just, you know, here's an extra $500 or $1,000, but, you know, something tangible that they can actually use and it would be beneficial for them or their family.
Because I think psychologically, it's basically like you give the money, it just sort of goes in the, I got more money. I just got a slightly bigger paycheck this month.
Right.
And they wouldn't think, I got $675. I'll go buy this TV. Right. And thank you work is like, if you actually give them something physical, they attribute a much higher value. To the reward.
They're, right. And the if you have something tangible like that, it just obviously lasts longer. Every time you look at it, you think about it, and hopefully it'll pump you up and motivate you, as opposed to to your point, you just get $500, you spend it, it's gone. You forget mm-hmm. about it. Don't really have any, after the fact value after that.
Yeah. Maybe hangover, but that's maybe not value. Yeah. Whereas the 65-inch TV, you're sitting there looking at it going, yeah, I really rocked that.
Right. I earned that.
Yeah.
I pay for it.
Yeah. Now I'm sitting here enjoying the benefits.
Right.
So we've talked about some of the ways to sort of make it fun. Let's talk about some failures. Tell me about some things that have gone wrong. Cause I don't imagine it's all been,
cream. Yeah. It took us a while to really understand the questions to ask before hiring to make sure that this person is not only, good for us as a salesperson, but, their mindset is there to be a productive work from home person. It does take a certain type of mentality. It takes a certain type of person that's in a certain comfortable environment wherever they are. So we've absolutely had some, you know, failures in the sense of hiring some people that we assume were going to work out great, but turned out that they didn't have an office to work out of. So again, it was really difficult to do phone calls. They didn't want to put their camera on because they're in their living room. So we've had a couple of employees that we've hired that fell into that category, and that was early on. So, you know, that we've learned from that to make sure we ask, you know, do you have a proper working area? If not, this is probably not going to be, you know, a good candidate. We hired, so I'm on the West Coast, I'm in California, and we hired somebody in New York, and the time barrier early on, before we implemented some technology, the time difference was a little bit of a barrier, right? By the time that I got in and started following up with them, I realized that they were probably just, you know, slacking for the first few hours. And then obviously they stopped 3 hours ahead of me. So they're not really being as productive as I assumed they were going to be. So that was, you know, something that we learned that since we're on different time zones, we have to make sure that everyone understands their start time, right? And making sure that they work as if they are going into an office, right? That's one of the biggest pieces of value that I can offer somebody who's gonna work remote. When you get up, right? I mean, shower, right? Put on clothes and act as if you're going into the office.
Mm-hmm. Go outside, go for a walk, get Starbucks, right? If that's what you do every morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now you'll fall into, you know, some habits every now and then, but as long as you keep your mindset right, your work-life balance is going to make you a lot happier, which in turn we found makes you more productive.
Totally. I specifically, so I work from home one day a week, and okay. I find, you know, there's some days where, you know, I know exactly what I need to do, and I wake up and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and just power through this. And I just have a like hugely productive morning. There are other times where I wake up and it's sort of, you know, don't have quite that motivation. Yeah. The house is nice and warm. It's very conducive. It feels like a weekend, you know, it's tempting to just, you know, have your breakfast and then sit on the couch. And when I'm feeling like, okay, I'm feeling that lazy mode coming on, I'm like, I got to go out and go for a walk and just get outside. And I feel like sometimes it's just the act of being outside, walking around the block. I'll walk down the street, grab a cup of coffee, you know, I'll go to the coffee shop that's a little bit farther so that I have to, you know, really stretch my legs. And then when I come back, you know, it's the cold air that's sort of, you know, being outside, the wind, the whatever sort of gotten me back to a place where I'm like, hey, I've been outside now. I'm awake. This isn't Saturday morning. I'm not watching my cartoons.
That's right.
Time to go to work.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that's, I can't stress that enough to people who work remote. Yeah, because you can get stuck in that doldrum of, you know, just being locked in that office and powering through, but you know, you have to just step away every now and then, go outside, get some fresh air, right? Because if you were, you know, if you think about it, if you were in an office, right, well, you would probably go have lunch with your colleague, right? Or go get some coffee with your colleague. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. So you have to insert, you know, some breaks there, although they're going to be different because you're at home. Right, whatever you can do to just step away for a few minutes, clear your head is absolutely valuable.
Because without all the distractions, it is so much easier to just sit there and work for a very long period of time without, you know, realizing, oh, geez, all of a sudden it's 7-8 o'clock at night.
Yep. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden
that's actually turned out to be a sort of benefit for a lot of us is, right, we'll be at home and then all of a sudden we'll get this idea, you know, and we can just run to the computer and knock it out or send it out. Where if, you know, a lot of times when you work in an office, as soon as you get home, you shut everything off, right? Your brain, now you're home. It's home time. When you work from home, you know, you don't, that separation isn't as evident. So you're almost always in work mode, even though you're home. So if you have an idea or something, you know, jumps out at you and you have to remember it or you want to go do it, you can just run downstairs or to wherever you are and knock it out. 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. It's not that you're always in work mode. It's just that you're always able to quickly switch back into work mode and sort of.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. Like, yeah, you mentioned you've got a separate, you need to have a separate room so that you have that sort of separation between work life and home life.
Oh yeah. I mean, I luckily have in my house, I have a separate room that is considered my office. I have a sign out front, you know, do not disturb if I'm on a call.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work, but for the most part it's worked. Cause I'm one of those, you know, one of the people who have kids, and that could definitely be a distraction sometimes if they're home. But again, if you just set it up properly, and you put some rules in place, most of the time that shouldn't be that big of a distraction. If it is, then, you know, you're just not ready to be that work from home person.
That's fair.
There's definitely a lot of people who want to probably work from home, but you know, if you take a look at your setup, your environment, you might not be able to, even though you would like to. A lot of things have to be set up properly in your life in general for you to be productive in a work from home world.
So what's one tip that you would give for anybody that's either working from home or managing, dealing with a remote sales team?
Trust. Make sure you have trust. And if there's any doubt or any lack of trust, nip it in the butt right away. Because you're not there with them, you have to build that trust.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that that person is doing what they are supposed to be doing to be productive. Because that's the biggest hurdle or barrier, I think, that I've seen and I've heard, is just understanding, right? If you're going to be working from home, how do I make sure you're productive, right? I mean, yes, you can, I can see your numbers, but there's more to it than that, right? Let's really understand what's going on behind the scenes so that we can make sure you are successful. So building that trust, having the right technology, having the right tools to enable managers to stay in constant contact with the reps, and having visibility into as much data as you can to really understand what's going on.
Gotcha. I love it. I think the one thing that that's sort of outside the sales realm that we started doing is, so one tactical tip for me, and we don't have a remote sales team, but we have had remote sales reps. We do have one remote rep right now, who is on the sales side, sales and coaching side, is the sort of, if one person is remote in a meeting, then everybody's remote. Hmm. And that means you don't have a group full of, you know, people all sitting here talking together. And then you've got that poor crappy, you know, speakerphone sitting in the middle of the room, and whoever's on the call has no way of interrupting and has no way of sort of, chiming in or even understanding like who's saying what. Those systems are just, you know, they're okay, but they're not great.
Right.
Having everybody plugged into a meeting like this is just so much more powerful.
Absolutely. And so another tip is make sure you pay extra for the best internet connectivity you can get in your area. Don't go cheap on internet, because it is absolutely critical that, you know, you have enough bandwidth to support these, you know, video conferences, and you don't want to come across as, you know, you have bad technology or, you know, bad phone system. So spend extra. Most likely the company will pay for it to get whatever the highest internet bandwidth you can get.
Fantastic. Joy, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I think this has been super valuable. We've got one last sort of surprise segment. It's called Cold Call Me. So I told you you get a chance to pitch one of your products. I'll give you the option to, but you have to do a little role playing with me, and I'm going to work on my objection handling. Yeah. Cause I've been told I've been a little bit too soft in the past. I'll be prepared.
Okay.
All right. Ring, ring. Hello.
Hi, Colin.
Yep.
How are you today? This is Joey from, I guess I should decide which.
Yeah. Sorry, that was your call. This is the end of the podcast. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Cool. Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin. It's Joey from UpCurve Cloud. How are you?
Very busy. You got How'd you get my number?
Oh, well, actually, I met you at Google Next recently, if you recall. We were at the booth with the spinning wheel. You showed some interest in getting some cloud applications set up through Google. Is that something you have a few minutes to talk about now?
I'm really busy, just about to step into a meeting.
Well, one of the pain points that you mentioned to me when we briefly chatted was that mail delivery was an issue. You were getting a lot of spam and you weren't able to backup archive your email. So that's one of the areas that we can absolutely help you with. Are you familiar with G Suite?
Yeah, obviously we use Gmail.
Right. Are you using all the other tools that come with it? Are you using Drive? Are you using Hangouts? And what CRM are you running again? Salesforce, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, I'm just about to step into a meeting.
So what I'm gonna send you some information about how you connect your Salesforce with G Suite so that your reps don't have to manually enter data anymore, because one of the problems that I'm sure you're facing is your reps are not putting data into Salesforce. And I'm gonna show you how to fix that with Google, believe it or not.
Very cool. All right, send me that information. Let's chat.
You got it.
Cool. Thanks, Joey.
Wow, you're tough.
I was very soft the last couple. I'm really trying to be mean. It's hard without understanding the full product and pretending to be that buyer. But anyway,
right.
I want to say
that's our core competence is the Google side of stuff. So even though obviously we use a lot of other tools to help us in the sales world and the management world, for us as a company, that's our core competence.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show. If anybody's wanting to get in touch with you because they're building a remote sales team, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, happy to discuss, what we've gone through or provide any recommendations or advice or tell you what the tools we're running. Email jmaller@upcurvecloud.com. Joey Maller. LinkedIn is a great place to connect with me. I don't think there's too many Joey Mallers out there, so you should probably be able to just search my name and find me. And so those would be the two best methods, email or LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Well, right on, Joey. Thanks again.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Take care.